Let's go ahead and turn to Luke 18 today, and actually we'll be talking about the wings of eagles again. It seems to be a theme for us, and what a blessing. We want to see here in chapter 18, the first eight verses of Luke 18, about lessons, actually a lesson that the Lord has for us on prayer. He gives several lessons on prayer throughout the New Testament, and this is one of them. And it is so vital for us, of course. And so we read here in verse 1 of chapter 18 of the Gospel of Luke. It says that he, that is Jesus, spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, a parable is just a little story that brings out a spiritual truth. And so that's, whenever you read about a parable in the Bible, that's what it is. It's a little story that Jesus brings forth to relate to people, to go ahead and bring forth a spiritual truth. And so the end, or the meaning of this parable, would be to exhort us to always pray and not faint. Now, faint can be translated in a few different ways. The NIV says to give up. We should always pray and not give up. And then also another translation says to lose heart. We want to pray instead of losing heart, and giving in to a heart that's just losing to a place where we want to give up. In fact, the scripture says in another place that we're to pray without ceasing. That's what we're to do, to pray without ceasing and to be instant in prayer, because that is where our strength is. Now let's go ahead and read the parable. And so Jesus said this, "There was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man." Didn't care anything about God. And he didn't care anything for his fellow man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." And he would not for a while. He didn't care about her, so he wasn't going to avenge her of her adversary. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And so this lady wasn't giving up on this unjust judge, but she just kept coming and coming and coming again, coming after him, "Avenge me of my enemy." So finally said, "Ave, you know, I can't do this anymore. This lady's troubling me to death. So I'm going to go ahead and rule in her favor and avenge her of her enemy so she'll stop coming and wearying me." Now the Lord has a point to make through this story, this parable. The Lord said this in verse 6, "Hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Or really a better translation, "Will he keep putting them off? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now the Lord Jesus is making the point very clearly here, that if this unjust judge gives in because of a continual coming of this widow to him for justice, will not the loving, gracious Father that actually gave his own son to die on the cross for you hear your prayers as you cry to him day and night? And sometimes there's those issues in our lives that we will be crying day and night. Sometimes every 2 minutes, trying to commit it or bringing it to him again and remaining instant in prayer and praying without ceasing to the Lord. And because of his love and because of his beneficence, he is just marvelous to us. And he thinks about us, the Bible says, more than the sand upon the seashore, the Lord's thoughts are toward us. And so how much more is Jesus now saying to us, will the Father answer your prayer? Will he hear your cry day and night and come speedily to hear your prayer? I was so moved and thankful to God to share this testimony again with you. There's a brother that comes to our church. His name is Greg Wuerl, and he's in a wheelchair and hasn't been able to come to church as much lately because of the pain that he's had. But he's been in a wheelchair for 13 years, and so when he gets an infection, it's very serious. He was in the hospital, and the doctors were afraid because they almost lost him. And he remembers that as he was in that state between here and there, that he could had a vision. The Lord gave him a vision of the prayers of the saints. And he could hear all the prayers that were being said for him. And they were circling around the throne of God. And of course, that's very scriptural. The Bible talks about the incense that goes up before the Lord in Revelation. And the incense is the prayers of the saints. And he could hear his son, Jonathan, praying for him. Oh, Lord Jesus, please spare my dad. And the Lord answered that prayer. And as then he came out of his infection, he's out of the hospital, and he's okay with infection right now. And the Lord answered that prayer. The Lord heard that prayer. And as Greg shared that with us, man, that just zoomed me, and it zooms me again to know how carefully the Lord listens to your prayers and my prayers. He's not an unjust judge. He doesn't have disregard for mankind. He loves mankind. And so he is going to hear you every time. And so men should always pray and not faint. There is an exhortation to not faint in the Bible, and I want to just read it to you. I'll just quote this verse. I'll have you turn to other scriptures in a minute. But it's in Galatians 6, verses 8 and 9. He who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, that is, reap that everlasting life, if we faint not, if we don't allow ourselves in the Lord to lose heart or to give up. If we faint not, we're going to reap in due time and we'll be reaping everlasting life. Now, with the rest of our time together before we take communion today, I wanted to go ahead and give you some things that are listed in the Bible that will bring us to a temptation to faint. But we want to be wise about these things when they rise up and come against us so that we can remember to pray and not faint. And the Lord said this, will he find faith when he comes back to the earth? Oh, we want him to find faith in us, don't we? And those that are praying instead of fainting, losing heart and giving up, will be the ones that will have faith. And Jesus wants to come and find that in each one of us when he comes back to the earth. And so let's talk about these things. The first thing is very obvious to us probably is adversity. When adversity comes into our lives, we have that temptation to want to give up, to faint, to lose heart. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8 is the parable of the sower. And what I did is I looked at all three of those, exhortations of the parable of the sower. I looked at all three of them so that I could combine what is said about adversity there. And very simply, the Lord says that sometimes the sower, when he sows his seed, it falls on stony ground, meaning that it's very shallow ground. There isn't much depth to the earth there. And because there's no place to go down, the seed grows immediately up. But when the sun comes out and scorches that new young plant, because there's no root in it, it withers away. And then Jesus said that the seed that's sown represents the Word of God. And there are folks that receive in a shallow way the Word of God. I don't think there's anybody here like that because you're all really intent on listening to the Word of God today. But there are those that will take the Word of God into a shallow place in their hearts. And what happens is that joy and gladness springs up immediately. But when affliction, and that's one word that's used in one of the Gospels, or tribulation, trials of life, or persecution for the Gospel's sake, comes into their lives, they give up. And that's exactly the word that's used from the NIV translation. It says they are offended, or NIV translation, they give up. And in some cases, we might have somebody say, you know, I tried Christianity, but it didn't work. Now, what are they saying there? They're saying very simply that they thought that sounds good, you know, and I'll give it a try, and they have joy and gladness, but they're very shallow. And as soon as some affliction or tribulation springs up, they give up. They faint. But they should have prayed and not fainted. Amen? Amen. And so that's the lesson that we have today, is to pray and not faint. Now with that, let's turn to Proverbs 24:10 together. Proverbs 24:10. Now, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 says this: "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint, if you lose heart, if you give up in the day of adversity, your strength is small." And we also have an exhortation in the book of Jeremiah, which I'll just quote to you, that has to do with the same thing. An exhortation, Jeremiah 12:5 says this: "If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses?" And that's really a good point. The Lord's saying, you know, if you can't take a little adversity in your life, what are you going to do when something really big happens to you? What are you going to do then? If you run with the footmen and you're wearied, how in the world are you going to contend with horses when bigger things come into your life? And so a real exhortation, a real sobering, as we think, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, I know it's real silent in here right now. You can almost hear a pin drop. And that's because you're probably identifying with me. When you say in your heart, you know, I'm not so strong. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to face these things with a little bit of strength. But the thing is this. That's why Jesus had to say, pray and not faint. Because you see, all of us don't have a lot of strength. The kids sing it so well. I am weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. If you feel weak, you are in really, really good company. I'd like to show you that in the Word of God. Let's turn to Revelation in chapter 3 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus is writing through the Apostle John to a write-on church in the last days, the Church of Philadelphia. I like to believe and think that Calvary Chapel Anaheim is part of that church, the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love. And here Jesus says to the angel, the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, "These things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, that no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and you have kept my word, and have not denied my name." And so here's a write-on church in the end times, and Jesus is saying, you have a little strength, but you have kept my word. And part of his word is, men always should pray and not faint. If we will keep his word of always praying and not fainting, even though we have a little strength, God's strength will enter in and help us. And we are not to deny his name. You know, we pray when we pray in the name of Jesus because he told us to do that. When you pray, pray in my name, he said to the disciples. There was a lower court judge in the state of California here that ruled that anyone in a public assembly, such as a city council meeting, shouldn't pray anymore in the name of Jesus. And I heard about that. And I was scheduled to go to the city council meeting, and I'm thinking, I've got a choice to make here, don't I? If I hear about this thing that I can't pray in Jesus' name anymore, maybe I should go in and do the generic prayer and just say, our mighty God behind the cloud up there, and you know, all these things that they do, you know. But of course, I knew in my heart, I knew what I had to do. But of course, the devil comes in and starts giving his lies and his innuendos and his Hollywood sets of how they would arrest me and how I don't like bars and jail very well, and what am I going to do now? But the Lord kept it on my heart, and I got so intimidated by that, you know, just practicing in my mind what I was going to say to them if they rebuked me, that I have to pray in the name of Jesus, please don't arrest me. But Jesus says, when you pray, pray in my name, because anything else just isn't prayer. And so I was all just nervous about it. My wife was there by my side, you know, and we're all pumped up, and it's time for me to go down there, you know. And, you know, I got so fired up in the Lord, I just said Jesus every other word, you know. And now we pray in Jesus' name. And we did it, and at the end I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And so I was waiting for what they were going to say to me. And, of course, our mayor is a Christian, praise God, Kurt Pringle. Or no, is it Kurt Pringle? Yes. Okay. He's a mayor. Is a Christian. And so he opened his mouth, and so I'm ready to, you know, get my rebuke, and my answers are ready. I'm ready with my answers, you know. And he says, where's your church? And I forgot. I was so ready for a fight. I forgot where our church was, and I started pointing. Somebody in the group yells out, it's on La Palma. And I said, no, no, that's Calvary Chapel East Anaheim. We're down there somewhere. And I finally just apologized, and I said, you know, I just can't remember right now, because you've taken me by surprise. And the poor mayor was embarrassed. And then the next day, or a few days later at church, two people came up to me and said, we saw you on television. Well, the Lord kind of used that to remind me that I really need to trust Him just a little more. You know what I'm saying? Well, we just need to look to Him and just receive the peace about the situation and never, ever deny His name. Never, ever do that or compromise with His name. And do all that you can to keep His word. And even though you have a little bit of strength, God will help you. And Jesus gives us the way that happens. It's through prayer. We go to Him in prayer and faint not. Now, Brother Marvin was led to have this anthem for us today on eagle's wings, and he quoted to us Isaiah 40. I'd like to turn with you to Isaiah 40 so we can just read it together. And starting at verse 28, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. It says this in Isaiah 40:28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not? He never loses heart. He never gives up. He just doesn't faint. Neither is he weary. The Bible says he never slumbers or he never sleeps. If I, in the middle of the night, have a deep problem of some kind, I can go to him in the middle of the night, and he's right there. He's right there. He does not faint, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so the key is our waiting, waiting upon the Lord. You know, I think of the first century Christians waiting upon the Lord, ministering to the Lord in prayer. And while they were doing that, the Holy Spirit came and separated Paul and Barnabas for their first missionary journey. There is so much strength, there is so much power, and there is so much of God's call in prayer. For as they waited and ministered to the Lord anointed the mighty Apostle Paul to begin his first missionary journey with Barnabas. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I picture Mary of Mary and Martha sitting at the feet of Jesus, waiting upon the Lord, waiting, listening. And so much of prayer is listening. Yes, we make our requests known unto Him with thanksgiving, but we also wait upon the Lord. And what happens? A renewal. We are baptized afresh in the Holy Ghost. We receive fresh oil from heaven. There's a freshness that springs up in our soul, bringing a gladness to our soul because we're refreshed. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I receive His strength I receive his power. It says this also in the book of Ephesians when the Lord's talking about the armor of God. He says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so that's where our strength comes from, not from within ourselves, but from outside of ourselves through prayer, that men should always pray and not faint. The prayer part, receiving power from God and his strength and his might and his anointing, is what takes away the fainting fits. And these fainting fits are very common to all people. In fact, Spurgeon, the prince of the pulpit, Charles Spurgeon is known in the religious community, and many of you know about him, his commentaries. He was a wonderful preacher in England about 100 years ago, and he had a school of ministry, and everyone reads his commentaries that preaches from the pulpit that knows the Lord in a conservative way. And you know, he actually wrote an article that I read that really ministered to me, called The Fainting Fits of the Minister. The Fainting Fits of the Minister. And Charles Spurgeon was known for the depression, actually the bouts that he had with depression and the things that he struggled for in his ministry. But you know what? Charles Spurgeon had a prayer team that prayed underneath his church 24 hours a day. And they would pray and they would pray, and he was a man of prayer. And so through the prayer, the strength came and the mighty anointing upon him, so much that men read him today, came forth from that pulpit. And so we praise God for his example, and we praise God for how the Lord can anoint us. Now, the Apostle Paul grew in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to such a point that he was actually able to give us some instruction about this thing called weakness and strength. That's mind-blowing. And so we don't want to leave this subject before we go to him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Now the Apostle Paul had a malady in his flesh. He called it the thorn in his flesh. Many people believe it was an Oriental eye disease. I had a man here at the service last night that's losing his eyesight. And it was precious because he was crying out to the Lord, and we're crying out to the Lord together. And it's just hard seeing when you start losing something like your eyesight or some other faculty of yours, and it's just tough on you. And the Apostle Paul, they believe, had an Oriental eye disease, and there's some evidence that leans that way because he actually would dictate his letters to another person, Tychicus. And at the end of one of his letters, he said, "See, this is my own signature. You can see what large letters I'm making." Because of his poor eyesight, they say, the evidence there, he had to make very large letters. So he was struggling with this. And he cried out to God, and he cried out to God, and he cried out to God. And I said it three times because we're told here in the scriptures he sought the Lord three times. And then the Lord came to him and said this in verse 9, of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Boy, I sure love this verse because I got a lot of that to give the Lord. "Lord, what do you want from me?" "Your weaknesses." "Okay, here you go. Where should I start?" "My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The Apostle Paul was actually able to come to a place, and may God help us to come to this place with him, that he could gladly serve the Lord with gladness, even though he had an infirmity, because he saw through experience that even through his infirmity, the Lord could do a mighty work, and that the power of Jesus came, rested upon him, and made up the difference between what he was unable to do, God would do in and through him, and would help him, and yea, that right early, because our God is an awesome God, and he will come to them speedily that cry to him day and night. Men should always pray and not faint. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say this, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Blessed be the name of the Lord. If we'll just remember to pray, if we just stop and pray, Jesus will help. Jesus will heal. Jesus will strengthen us and encourage us and renew us and take us in our hearts on the wings of an eagle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Forever and ever. Amen. Now, the second thing that we want to look at that will bring temptation to faint, to lose heart, is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. So let's go there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. He says this, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, lose heart, when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges or disciplines every son whom he receives." When the Lord disciplines us, there is a temptation to faint, to lose heart, to give up, and to just throw our hands up in despair. But the Lord wants you to know that he loves you. The Lord loves those that he chastens. And so we're to remember that love. Now, I'm a dad, and I had four sons. And one time when one of my sons was in third grade, I heard him weeping in his bedroom in the dark, breaking my heart. And I went in and sat on his bed with him, and I said, What's wrong? And he said, "I am such a sinner. I have sinned so bad." And of course, immediately what would go through a parent's mind went through my mind. He said, "He's only in third grade. What could he have done so terrible, you know?" But he was being touched by the Holy Spirit and seeing the recognition of his sin. The discipline of the Lord was upon his life. But I, as a father, of course, and you as a parent, would sit there and just begin to encourage that boy and tell him how much God loves him. And the Lord has a plan for his life. And God wants to encourage and to bless and to lift. And he lets us know if we simply confess it back up to him. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to get the feeble knees together and lift up the hands that hang down and say, "Lord, thank you for your discipline. I don't want to faint because of it, but I want to be strengthened to know that you forgive and you can take me on now and train me as your child." Those he loves, he chastens. And so we're not to faint, but pray. And we have that right here in the book of Hebrews. Let's look at verses 2 and 3 in Hebrews 12. It says this, "Looking unto Jesus," or the NIV says, "fix your eyes on him," on Jesus, "the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." If you ever begin that Jesus doesn't go through chastening, think again. The cross was the chastisement of us all. That's what it says in Isaiah 53. He took upon himself the chastisement, the punishment for us all. So he can identify with you even in that. Because the temptation is to think, well, Jesus was sinless. He was never chastised. Think again. When he went to that cross and he took the beating that he took and the stripes that he took and the cross itself, the chastisement of us all was falling upon him. He felt all of it upon him. And so we are to look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, and that joy is you and I, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." And so the Lord doesn't want us to faint when he disciplines us as children. And the way to not faint and be weary and faint in our minds, is to consider him, is to look to him, pray and not faint. Now this word consider is considerably longer in the Greek than it is here in English. We use consider like, well, consider that, consider this over here. But it's actually a very long Greek word, and I'm going to try to pronounce it to you now. An-al-og-id-zamahi. Whoa. And as long as it is, the definition is also very deeper than our English word consider. It means to meditate upon, to contemplate deeply. Like, actually, that's what you do at church, or when you sit down with your Bible. You're listening intently with your ears. You're accepting the word on good, solid ground, not shallow ground. And you're considering him and his word and contemplating and meditating thereon. And as you do that, you begin to realize, as you know and contemplate on what he went through, the contradiction of the sinners against him, how much less your problem is, no matter how big it is. It's not as big as his was. Your weight that you're trying to carry is not anywhere near the weight that he carried. And as we do that and sit before him as Mary sat before his feet, all of a sudden the weariness is dissipated. All of a sudden the freshness of the new strength begins to rise in our hearts. All of a sudden we realize that our weight isn't even to be compared to his, and that one day, because of what he did, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to learn how to fly. And it's lifted, and you're lifted, and you receive that fresh oil waiting upon the Lord. Now, you know, the last little deal, you know, in the Greek dictionary, they put al dash, so we can pronounce it, you know, al dash, og, I, zom. And the last little deal was a he. I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking, as we're waiting upon the Lord, and we just go, ah, he. We're considering him. Ah, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for me, and how he comes to help me. And all I need to do is to wait on him and to pray to him and receive his strength and his power. Ah, he. That blessed me. I wanted to pass that on. Well, let's go on now to the very last thing we want to look at that will want to come into our lives, break into our lives to cause us to faint, and that is fear. Let's turn to Luke 21:26. Now, this has to do with end times, and of course, we're moving up very quickly on the last days of our earth. We all know that. Christians from around the world know that and fellowship in that fact that Jesus is coming soon, and we're so glad. As those days get closer, they will get harder. And if you listen to the news too much, you will develop the fear factor. Fear will want to break into your life. I mean, just in the things that we eat. You know, one week they have a special on broccoli, and they say, man, if you eat broccoli, you're eating bugs. Little black bugs hiding in your broccoli. So you strike that off and say, well, I can't eat the broccoli unless I do this or that to it. Then the week after that, they'll have a special on chicken. And they'll tell you that the chickens have tumors, and they have steroids, and you're going to get tumored if you eat the tumorized chickens. Then the week after that, they have a special on fish. Don't eat the fish. There's mercury in the fish. The Coast Guards have been dropping batteries for years off the coast, and all of our fish have mercury in them. So just eat fish maybe twice a week. What do you eat the rest of the week? Well, you can't eat beef, because beef remains in your intestines for 5 years. And I'm thinking, how can that be possible? When I eat a steak, I'll say, we'll see you in 5 years. Give me a break. And of course, the cholesterol's going to kill you any minute now, you know, this kind of thing. I mean, just from, you know, just talking about something dumb like food. And if you go through those things, you say, what are you going to eat? celery with soy cheese in it. Sounds great. But if we get too far into that stuff, you're going to be afraid all the time. Not to mention the serious things like North Korea and those other things that just want to bring fear upon us. And so we read in the scriptures, it says in the last days here that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Talk about fainting fits. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Why? It goes on to say, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So as we move towards the end times, we're going to see more earthquakes, more famines, the things that we've seen in Indonesia. And you know what, brothers and sisters? We would surely faint if it wasn't for prayer, if it wasn't waiting on the Lord, trusting in Him. Men should always pray and not faint. Let's turn to Psalm 34 and verses 3 and 4. Psalm 34, verses 3 and 4. Says this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me." There's prayer. "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears." The fears will dissipate, the fears will disappear, and you will be delivered from all your fears, whether it's broccoli or North Korea. As you meditate in the Word of God and wait upon Him and look to Him in prayer, the peace will come. Philippians 4 lets us know that, some of our favorite scriptures. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything with prayer and thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will rule in your hearts. And it's a wonderful thing to receive. I include verse 3 here, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me," because my wife Sherry told me a really neat thing that she heard from Christy, my daughter-in-law, in teaching about magnifying the Lord. Picture yourself with a giant magnifying glass, and you're looking at the Lord through a big magnifying glass. What's happening? You're making the Lord bigger, and He needs to be made bigger in our lives. The fears become very small and disappear as God is bigger and bigger, because He's the God that made everything, and He's the God that watches over us. And also, with the magnifying glass, you can let the sun rays come through it and hit a piece of paper out here on the parking lot, and eventually that paper will catch on fire because of the sun rays being magnified. Well, if the Lord Jesus' light is coming through a magnifying glass that you're looking through upon you, you're going to catch on fire. You're going to be on fire for Jesus, and you're going to be trusting Him and walking with Him in the peace of God, instead of fearing, instead of fainting, instead of losing heart and wanting to give up. God is good, and He will bring these things. I'd like to summarize today before we take communion with Isaiah 41:10. Let's just take a look at this verse. I love this verse. I quote this verse a lot, but I want us to look at it today and end with it today. It kind of sums up everything that's been said so far. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of the Lord." This verse is so important. I hope it's underlined in your Bible. And I know it's a neat verse to kind of copy down and put on maybe your mirror at home, so that you can receive these things in the morning. After last service, had a brother come up and pulled out his keychain. And for now 10 years, he's been carrying this verse on his keychain. And he says he pulls it out a lot. "Fear not. Fear not," the Bible says, "for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." We have a little strength, but He gives us a lot. "Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Men should always pray and not faint. Let's stand and pray. I'm sorry, stay seated. We're going to have communion. You can pray sitting down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. It is wonderful to just read these scriptures. Lord, to just take them in. Lord, we know that we don't read these verses enough, and we probably watch the news too much. So, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to be in the word as much as we watch the news, so that we won't be in the fear factor, but rather in the victory circle. Jesus, help my brothers, my sisters, and myself, Lord. We need your strength, Lord. Help us to wait upon you and renew that strength from day to day. So, Lord, now thank you for the time of communion we're going to have. Would you bless each one? Would you help each one of us to just communicate with you, to have that personal prayer? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to take communion. The way we take communion here is that we'll pass out the bread first, and then we'll hold the bread and we'll take it all together. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that at the Last Supper you took the bread and you blessed it. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would do that very thing this very day for us, that you would bless this bread. That as we're taking it, Lord, we'll be remembering you and be encouraged in you, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And we do this in remembrance of him, to actually show the Lord's death until he comes. In Jesus' name.
You know, it's interesting, a study that we had today, because Pastor Mark spoke about fear and the hope that we have. And Romans 28 speaks about that, that all things work for good for those who are called according to his good purpose and those who love him. And that's basically what Jesus demonstrated on the cross, that though the enemy meant it for evil, Jesus died for us for our good, so that we can spend eternity with him. And for those who are suffering and wondering about, what about me? My husband left me, my wife left me. You know what? Jesus loves you, and he stands before you and next to you. And there is a hope for all of us who are hurting. So just remember, we do this in remembrance of what he did for us, and that we will spend eternity with him regardless of what happens to us here. He is with us. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just lift up this cup before you. We thank you, Father, that you said in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, to do this in remembrance of you, Father, what your son did for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you did die for our sins, and you've given us a new beginning and a new hope. We pray, Father God, that we walk away with a renewed spirit and a renewed hope in our hearts, Father, because we know that Jesus died for us. So we just lift up this cup. May it just wash us and cleanse our minds of our doubts and our fears, and be renewed in the hope and restored in the faith of what you've done for us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand for take the cup together. Jesus said, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the remission of many sins, even all of our sins washed clean and washed away." So let's go ahead and take in faith in Jesus' name. We'd like to invite anyone here that needs prayer to be able to come to the prayer room and receive prayer today. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life as your Savior, that is really something you need to do. And we say that from love and not from pushing us, because the love of God draws all of us to himself. And as we open our hearts to him, then, oh, communion means so very much to us. So if you would like to do that today, the prayer room is open to you today. So may the Lord bless you now. May God just continue to lead you, and may your heart be continually open to his love, that you might be rooted and grounded in love, and that you would always know that when the adversity presses in upon you, that you can pray and not faint. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.